few years ago, those of you who grew up in the Beatle era, the Beatles, and hopefully some of you younger people, because they are bringing back some of the Beatles songs, remember a song by the Beatles a few years ago named Help. The song Help went something like this: Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone. Help. When I was younger, so much younger than today, I never needed anybody's help in any way. But now these days are gone, I'm not so self-assured. Now I find I've changed my mind and open up the doors. Help me if you can, I'm feeling down. And I do appreciate you being round. Help me get my feet back on the ground. Won't you please, please help me? And now my life has changed in oh so many ways. My independence seems to vanish in the haze. But every now and then I feel so insecure. I know that I just need you like I've never done before. Help me if you can, I'm feeling down. And I do appreciate you being round. Help me get my feet back on the ground. Won't you please, please help me? I don't know, the age that the Beatles were popular in and when their songs were popular, whether they were talking about a particular person, maybe it was drugs, maybe it was alcohol, but I think that the song expresses the general overall feeling of humanity. We think at some points in our lives that we can handle it. We're able to do it. We're assured of ourselves that we're strong and we can do all things. As we grow older, we grow wiser, and we realize that we can't do things, that we're not in control, and we need help. There's a story about a man who was on a ship years ago. He was headed for Rome on this ship, and as they sailed across the Mediterranean Sea, they sailed by the islands of Cyprus and Crete. And as they did so, the wind started to come up on the sea on this journey, and it was a wind of hurricane force. It was called a nor'easter, and it swept down from the islands across the sea, and their ship was caught in the storm. It was a terrible storm. The boat that they were on was tossed to and fro, and they were all afraid that they were going to run aground on the sandbars of Syrtis. So they lowered their anchor down and allowed the ship to be pulled along by the wind, with the anchor dragging along to maybe give them some stability. 3 days they were on this ship. They started to throw all the things on the ship overboard to try and give the ship some stability. I can imagine these things were flying around as the ship was tossed to and fro and the storm was raging. And it says they gave up all hope. They gave up all hope of being saved. The men had gone a long time without food. And one man on board stood up and said, "You should have taken my advice not to sail. We should have never left the island of Crete. We should have stayed there until the storm was over." But he says, "I now urge you to keep your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed." He had courage. He knew that they were going to receive help when they needed it. The ship was going to be lost, but there would be no lives lost. And he knew this because he said, "An angel of God whose I am and this God whose I am and who I serve," this angel stood by me and said, "Don't be afraid, Paul. Don't be afraid." So he said to these men on board, "Don't give up your courage. Keep your courage, because I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me." And it did. They were saved by the almighty grace of God, washed up on shore of that island, but not a life was lost. The same writer who wrote the story of Paul in Acts wrote our gospel story this morning from Luke about the healing, bringing back the life of this mother's son. You know, today, folks, our world does not want to trust God or praise God. If I were to ask you this morning, why are you here? Why are you even here this morning? If someone were to ask you, why do you believe in God? Why do you follow Christ? Why do you praise God? Why? What would you say? We are here this morning to praise God. We're not here this morning to get filled up because we're spiritually hungry. We're not here this morning to feel good about ourselves when we leave. We're definitely not here this morning so that we can connect with and identify with the preacher. That's not why we're here. We're not here because it's the right thing to do on Sunday morning. We're not here because it's the thing you should do. We are here for one reason and one reason alone. It's to praise God. Now, when we do praise God, and praise God as because of who He is, everything else falls in place. We're filled up to overflowing. We're restored in our faith and our hope. We know that it's not only the only thing to do on Sunday morning, it's the best thing to do on Sunday morning. We know that we should be here as the body of believers on Sunday morning to praise God because of who God is. He's a God who helps His people. That's His character. Somebody says, well, what do you do for a living? So I'm a farmer. They picture you according to what you do. That's your character. You say, well, I'm a doctor. They picture you a certain way. Maybe wearing a lab coat. Maybe carrying your reports or your files around with you. You say, well, I'm a mechanic. They're going to picture you a certain way, with grease and dirt on your hands, maybe on your clothes. You say, well, I'm a teacher. They're going to picture you a certain way, right? It's called a presupposition based on who you say you are and your character. You say, I'm a preacher. Well, what are they going to do? They're going to picture you as this old gray-haired fat guy that wears a suit all the time, right? But you see, in God, we praise Him because of who He is, because of His character. That's why we're here this morning. Because of who God is. And I want to talk about that a little this morning, because until we fully know and understand, we will never be able to trust Him nor praise Him in a way that's pleasing to God. In the Gospel of Luke, we see this widow. Jesus came to the town called Nain. And as He approached the town gate, here was a dead person being carried out. This dead person was the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. There was a lady who had lost her husband, now she had lost her son. In the Jewish culture, do you know what that means? She lost everything, including her inheritance. Because there was no longer any family name or any person to pass the inheritance down to. She was on her own. And in the Jewish culture, in Judaism, the women were viewed as lesser than the men. She had no chance. Her hope was lost. Her future seemed hopeless. When the Lord saw her, when Jesus saw her, that's who He saw. A woman who had lost all hope. So you know what He did? He went out to her. He went out to her. And He said to her, don't cry. He went up, He touched the coffin, and those who were carrying it stood still. He said, young man, I say to you, get up. And the dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe. And what they do? They praised God. They praised God because a great prophet had appeared among them and God had come among them to help His people. They praised God for whom God was, a God who saw the hurt and the loss of this lady who was not only a widow, but had lost her son. God saw her need. He saw her discomfort. He saw her hopeless state. And He came to her in Jesus Christ, and they praised God for coming into their midst. In the book of Acts, Paul's in a predicament. He's on this ship. The storm's raging around him. And he says, no, be calm. Be calm. Be of good courage. Nobody's going to be lost because God told me so. Why did God tell him? How could God do it? Because that's who God is. That's his character. Why did he come down in Jesus Christ and rescue this widow and give her her hope back? Because that's who God is. That's his character. What's your situation today in life? What's going on? What's the storm that you're enduring, being tossed about because of the situations in your life? Maybe you've lost something. Maybe you've lost a loved one recently. Maybe you've lost something in your life that meant an awful lot to you. And maybe you've lost all hope and it seems like there's no future in your life. Maybe you've been diagnosed with something that's taken away all of your hope and your joy. What's your situation? I want to tell you folks, let's send out an SOS. Jesus says you don't have because you don't ask. Our hope is not in doctors. It's not in a book. You can sit and read a book all you want and all the steps that it's going to take. You can sit with all kinds of stuff burning, music playing, and humming, seeking something. But you will not receive it because it's like throwing a bottle out to sea. You don't know where it's ever going to end up. But when we see the character of God and who God is, we know that the only thing we should do is say, help me if you can, I'm feeling down. And I appreciate God, you being around. Help me get my feet back on the ground. Won't you please, please help me? In Psalm 146, the psalmist really starts to bring out the character of God, but it's not all contained here. This is not an exhaustive thing. We say, what is the character of God? What's God like? We see in Psalm 146 is this psalmist is praising Almighty God. We see, first of all, in verses 1 through 2, the psalmist's commitment to praise God. And we need this commitment to praise God. He says, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. I want you to notice something in that text. Praise the Lord. That word Lord, that name Lord, is capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That is the way that Yahweh is translated to the English language in all capitals. Praise Yahweh. So the psalmist is specific about who we are to praise, who he is praising. And it's Yahweh, the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Not some false god, not some other prophet, not somebody who's already died. We praise God. We praise Almighty Yahweh. Next, the psalmist in verses 3 and 4 gives us a comparison of trusting in mortals and trusting in God. He says, don't put your trust in princes, in mortal men who cannot save. Because he says, when they die, when their spirits depart, when they die, they go back to the ground and their plans come to nothing. What he's saying is we cannot trust in humanity to save us. Because humanity can't save us. And the third thing, in verses 5 through 10, the psalmist gives us the reason that everyone should praise and trust Yahweh, the Lord. Because blessed is he whose help is. Not whose help is in, but whose help actually just simply is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God. And this Lord, this God, is the maker of heaven and earth, maker of the sea and everything in the sea, the one who remains faithful forever. That's the character of God. We worship and praise God because he's the one that created all this and made all this in the first place. And He's the one who will be faithful forever. He isn't like mortal man that dies, and when he dies, there's no more hope. The hope dies. No, He's faithful forever. And that word praise, folks, in the ancient Hebrew is hallel, where we get the word hallelujah from. Hallel, which means to be clear or to shine. I will be clear about whom it is I am praising. It's Yahweh. And I'll be clear about what I'm going to do. I'm going to praise Him all my life. And blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob. Happy or glad is the one who worships Him. And not only so, but even more, this God, this Lord Yahweh, whom he praises and we should praise, is the one who does what? Upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. Well, I'm sure this widow was worried about food because her men were gone. She was on her own. Where am I going to eat now? Where am I going to get food? She was oppressed and pressured now, worried. But you see, the Lord upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. Does that describe you? Maybe you're feeling oppressed. Maybe you're feeling hungry. Maybe you're worried about what's going to happen in the future. And because we worry, because we lose focus, we become imprisoned in the ways of the world, and those ways are worry and anxiety. We start to worry because the press is telling us things are hopeless. My heart goes after those people in Florida, especially to the fishermen who are going to lose everything because of this oil spill. It really breaks my heart, being in business for myself, to know that there's the little mom and pop fishing operations down there in Florida that are done. But really, are they? It's odd because I've never felt a heart for mission, to go out into the mission field, but lately my heart just literally explodes with compassion for those people, because I want to go down there and tell those fishermen, it's going to be okay. God's in charge. I don't know what He's got planned for you, but He's already on the scene. And we need to just praise Him because He's God. Because He's the God who upholds the cause of the oppressed, gives food to the hungry, and sets the prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind, lifts up those who are bowed down, and loves the righteous. Well, now wait a second, Pastor Mike. Now you're telling me that He loves the righteous. Doesn't He love the unrighteous? What's that word righteous mean? That word righteous means the one who is just or lawful. God loves us as all His creation. But God has a special place in His heart for the person who reveres God's laws and statutes. The Bible tells us that. And He watches over the alien, the one who's outside. He watches over them, sustains the fatherless and the widow. But He frustrates the ways of the wicked. And the wicked are those who are morally astray or guilty by God's standards. He frustrates them. Why? Because that's who God is. He's a holy God. He's a God that uplifts those who revere Him and praise Him, but He frustrates those who don't and don't care about Him. And sometimes He frustrates them so that they'll say, help, help me if you can, I'm feeling down. Help me get my feet back on the ground. And God says, now you're talking. Now you're talking. And sandwiched here in between, Psalm 146, of the psalmist's description of the character of God in Acts 27, where Paul says, knowing the character of God, be strong, be courageous. Sandwiched in between is that good news of Luke, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that God has visited His people in Christ. And how do we know Jesus was God? Because we saw the character of God in Jesus Christ, going to the widow, binding up her broken heart, rescuing her, giving her new sight, new direction. Why did Jesus do this? Because He's God, and that's God's character. That's who He is. That's what He does. When we're shipwrecked in life, we can, in fact, we must put our faith and trust in the God of Jacob, because He can save us and will save us. Why? Because that's who He is. That's what He does. All else, everything else that we try in life is like putting a note in a bottle and just simply tossing it out to sea. But it's not so with followers of Christ. We have a direct delivery to God who saves, who lives, and who pleads with the Father on our behalf. Our SOS to the Lord, when our ship's being battered by the storms, our SOS to God, when all hope is lost and we're feeling oppressed, our SOS has to be directed to God, and God will come to our rescue, because that's who He is. That's His character. And we come this morning to praise Him because that's who He is. Is He my buddy? You bet He's my buddy. Is He an ever-present help in time of trouble? Always. That's my experience. Will He come to rescue me? Yes, He will. Sometimes I have to be a little patient. How do I know it's Him? Because the Bible describes Him. And when He comes, praise be to God. Dear God, I pray this morning that You help us all.